Welcome to the Salty Seekers, where you can hang out with friends and talk about all areas of spirituality and the metaphysical while knowing you don't have to be pure love and light to do it. Hi, and welcome back to the Salty Seekers. Today we're going to be talking about things that lower your vibrations. If you're looking to raise your vibes, keep them high, what do you want to avoid or at least limit? What are your thoughts on this, Jay?
Anybody who's telepathic, I just told them. Raising my vibes, man, just trying to say positive, finding...
Did you say leave my ghost shows alone?
We'll get to that, but yeah. But for me, raising my vibes is just, you know, laughter. I like laughing a lot. Trying to do positive things, trying to find the joy in whatever I'm doing. And it's not always easy, but just...
So you have to avoid anything that doesn't do that.
As best you can. 3D life, you're not always going to be able to avoid those.
Right. You know, I never realized before this journey that I'm on how... some things affected me that I used to do. And we'll get into some of those in a minute, but I never realized that some of the habits that I have, how they would be affecting my vibes on a daily basis. And since then, I've avoided them. And I have to admit, some of them I miss. They were things I enjoyed, but I purposely avoid them in order to stay away from the effect that they have on my vibrations. Because to me, it's not worth it.
That's like me and several family members.
Weigh the pros and cons. Yeah. Well, yes. Mm-hmm. So let's get to our list and we'll work our way through them. The first thing I have on here is true crime. And so many people out there are going to be like, boo. Me too. This is one of the things that I actually love that I steer clear of now. I miss it. You know, I mean, it's kind of one of those comfort things when you just want background noise. I'll just have murder, true crime playing in the background. Which is sad, but true. You know, you shouldn't become accustomed to hearing about brutal murders and plots for murders and things like that. There's something wrong if you've become accustomed to that and your nervous system is regulated when you're hearing these things. For me, I think what it is, though, is that when they're talking about these stories, it's just someone talking into the microphone like this and telling you the story of what happened. And it kind of lulls you, like it's just somebody's comforting voice talking, and I think that's what it is. But it's so interesting because I want to know how their brains work. I want to know how their minds work. I want to know all the things.
You really woke this morning and chose violence. I mean, you came at our joy. You came at what so many of us love to sit there and do. It's just like, wow, how did they get here?
But I was sitting there. I could hear my daughter Courtney, too. My daughter Courtney's probably throwing shit at the TV and just like, boo, bitch, you're not taking away my true crime. She loves it. She's a junkie.
As soon as you started talking about it, as an adult, I don't watch them as much. But I remember as a kid, Unsolved Mysteries, it didn't even matter what the episode was. That dude was so creepy with his voice. And yeah. I would love watching that. But yeah, I see what you're saying with you're getting accustomed to that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, triple homicide.
Yeah. And you're just like, cool, what happened then? Like, you know, cool.
That's
like,
not how I would have done it, but yeah.
No fight or flight, no dysregulation of your nervous system. You're just accustomed to it. There's something wrong with that. But the thing is that when you tap into the collective consciousness or the energy, you're not just hearing a story. You're hearing an actual event that happened with real life people that involved trauma and fear and anger or whatever the emotions were in that. And when you're hearing the story, whether you're conscious of it or not, you're tapping into that story and the consciousness and the energy of that event and those people. It's not good for your vibes. If your goal is to have the vibes up here, that's probably not always the best situation to be in, at least on a regular basis. I can always tell if my vibes are slipping a little, I haven't been meditating or doing my work, because I'll start turning on the true crime. When I'm working, I'll start having the podcasts playing or the things on the YouTube. I'll be like, oh, I better get back to it.
My form of smut we've been talking about lately, it's similar. It's not crimes. It's just people doing terrible things to people, relationship. You know, you can listen to the audio stories and you're like, man, people, they're the worst.
Messy talk. We're on TikTok. We get into all that messiness, which I love it. I'm happy there, but it's not good for me.
Oh, with his brother? Oh.
Oh, she caught him cheating. Oh, man. Okay, so true crime.
Don't listen to her. Live.
Well, you can do whatever you want. I enjoy them too, but I know I'm the only one that's going to pay for the consequences. So if I watch them, I know that eventually that's going to have a negative effect on my vibrations. I'm not going to be as high vibe. My gifts aren't going to be as clear. I'm not going to be feeling as good. I might not be in the best mood. So do what you want. But if the goal, like as we said, is higher vibes, then like, next one. Sorry, Jay. Ghost shows.
They only make me happy. I do not know what you speak of.
It's just you don't know what energy you're going to come into there. It can be a lot of darkness, a lot of evil. I mean, it's not all of them. Some of them are just sweet old ladies or little kids or something. But sometimes you can come across some darkness. And there's a lot of fear. Mm. People who are ghost hunting tend to be fearful, or they scare easy, or things like that. So there's a whole collective energy around it that you're tapping into of like fear and darkness. So just be aware.
As far as my ghost shows, like the reality ones, I don't really watch them quite as much. I like the ones where they take people's story and of course they really embellish it. And you get to watch the dramatization of it. Those are some good jump scares. Ooh, got me.
See, I don't like those at all. I find them kind of boring. I like the ones that are live, where they have their little EVPs out, their little meters and their little ghost boxes, their, you know, the talk boxes. Mm-hmm. And they're going around with their infrared. You know, Jay and I were just talking about how it might be interesting to go film inside of one of these haunted places and do some videos from there. And because that's the only way you might get me in one is if I'm able to film it and share it. And so if this sounds interesting to you guys, if you would like to see that maybe around Thanksgiving or sometime in the fall when it's spooky season, we'll do a few of them. Let us know in the comments.
I won't bring any of my Halloween animatronics, I promise.
No. Kathy sent me a TikTok that said something like, how did you meet your best friend or something like that? And she's like, when we were ghost hunting and she asked the ghost to attack me. I started laughing. I'm like, I didn't ask it to attack you. I asked it to touch you. I didn't want it touching me. And it didn't end up touching her. It touched the blinds. We were in the hospital. We were ghost hunting. I know I've told this story before. There were metal, like, Levalor blinds on the windows. And you heard it go, like, up the blind. And the IV pole moved. And I'm like, okay, like, reach out and touch one. Touch Kathy. And she's like, touch Kathy? Don't tell me to touch Kathy.
That's like that scene from Steel Magnolias. You needed something to hit. Hit her.
Hit him, Alin. Are you crazy? Oh, my God. Perfect timing for that because it's almost Easter. Mm. It's time for the Easter Bunny. Anyways, I digress. Are you Steel Magnolias fans? Because I am. So the next one is horror movies. Oh, wait, before we move on, I'm sorry. Going back to ghost shows real quick. A few years ago, I got asked to be on someone's podcast to film a little thing on, I don't even remember what it was, what topic. And the name just kept sounding so familiar, so familiar, so familiar. And I recorded the thing with the lady, and she had a very professional setup, like lots of producers and all kinds of things. And it wasn't until afterwards that I looked her up, and it was Yvette Fielding, and she was one of the hosts of many of the British ghost hunter shows that I used to watch.
Anybody here? If there's any children here, please don't be frightened. We don't mean you any harm. If there's a ghost of a little boy here, the spirit of a little boy, please come and talk to us.
And I'm like, how did I not know? I was just sitting there talking to her on this podcast, and I didn't even know who I was talking to.
Come on.
What a bummer. Missed opportunity.
Come on, Spum. You throw us a bone.
I know. He's like, I did. I gave you a whole podcast with her. You blew it. Do some research. Google's free. So anyways, I just thought that was cool. Moving on. Horror movies. This is a hard, hard, hard pass for me. Absolutely not. You can't convince me to watch one. I remember one time my ex-husband snuck me, like he convinced me to go, told me it was about something different. And in the middle of this, it was a horror slasher movie. Blood, guts, and horror all over the place. And I was livid. I got up and walked out. I was so angry that he took me into that theater. And that was before I even was on this spiritual journey, learning about vibes and stuff. It was just, that's a hard line in the sand for me. I don't want anything to do with it because it feels so dark and bad. It just feels horrible to me.
Food for my soul. I don't know what you're speaking of. I love a good scary movie. It's amazing. But I had that same experience you just described. I had an ex, or I didn't know, date, maybe a couple of dates, but she convinced me to go to a movie. It was a war movie. And it did start out as a war movie for the first 3 minutes. And after that, it was a love movie. I was like, this was gaslighting.
She got you with the old okie doke.
Misleading.
You were bamboozled. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a good love movie.
I was looking forward to the action and all that stuff. She'd really talked it up. And then those 3 minutes were amazing.
That's what she said.
You're right.
Yeah, the horror movies in and of themselves, in its own little bubble of that movie, it can be dark. But you're not just dealing with that movie when you're watching these kind of movies. It's like a portal to the greater collective consciousness of the horror genre and of dark, murderous, yucky, evil things. None of that feels good to me. Oof. Maybe because you're not clairsentient like I am. Yeah.
I tell you about my chicken biscuits yesterday.
I'm just teasing you. I love taking opportunities for you to go.
Hey, when I was like 4 or 5, Poltergeist was one of my favorite movies. I'd watch that over and over.
Well, back then, you know, because like HBO and whatnot, they would play the same thing over and over. For that 3 or 4 months, you probably saw that movie 100 times.
I mean, I played it over and over and over on DVD because, you know, I'm not that old. But she had, for those who remember, she played it over and over on Betamax.
Oh, we never had a Betamax. Betamax was for losers.
Mm. Oh, yes. You were too fancy. You went VHS.
VHS only. But actually, my parents would never let us own that on VHS. No way. But it was on HBO. Mm. All the time.
Oh, fancy. I had whatever came through the antenna.
Well, we did until a certain age, and then we got cable.
I was the remote, and you go up there and pull the little knob and...
Yeah. Or stand there and, like, move the antennas a little to the left, turn the round one. Like
my papaw had that little scrambler. You'd twist the antenna outside.
Uh-huh. Yep. So you had to do the dials because you could change the channel, but then the dial behind it would dial it in. But then you had the rabbit ears on the back. So you're just like stuffing dirty jokes back inside. Could you see me glitching as I filter?
Your bad influence on me was almost, I had to reel it back.
I think we are equal forces upon each other.
Like positive hitting negative, huh?
I'm the positive and you're the negative.
I'm positive, you're the bad influence.
I won't deny it. Next is weed.
Come on, man.
And or drugs. Mm. I don't make the rules, man. I just report them.
I mean, where do these rules come from?
Spirit. Most drugs, as a blanket statement, will for sure lower your vibrations. However, with weed, what they said, and if you've seen my video that I made a few years ago on weed and what spirit says about weed, you'll know this already. I was told that just as everything comes with a natural vibration to it, a natural frequency, so does marijuana. And the effect that it has on you is determined by where your vibes start off. If you're someone who's really, really, really depressed or in a lot of pain and your vibes are just really low, smoking that plant and ingesting that, your vibes will temporarily at least raise to the level of that plant and you feel so much better. If you start off way up here and you smoke weed, it can pull you down to the level of the plant. So, I mean, you might still feel okay, but you don't feel as good. Your vibes are not where they were. Makes sense?
My experience with it has always been food is way better, and I laugh a lot. I'm talking about abs sore the next day laughing.
Do you think that when you did that you started from a place of like super high vibes? Oh,
probably not. It's one of those. It was so good.
It probably did raise it.
You go to eat something and you have to close your eyes because the food is so deliciously loud. You're like,
See, I've never smoked weed, but one time I did do a partial piece of a gummy a year or so ago, right after I had surgery. I was in so much pain and the pain meds weren't touching me. I was miserable. Fred, my ex, he takes gummies for his back pain. He was here taking care of me after surgery, and he's like, well, I brought this like half of a gummy with me for my pain. Do you want some? And I'm like, no. And he's like, it will help you. And I'm like, I've never done it before. You don't even know how much to give me. And he's like, well, it's only a half of a piece. So how about I take like 3/4 of it and I just give you like a pinch of it. And I'm like, all right. So I did. No, it was way too much, way too much, way too much. Oh my God. It was the worst experience ever. Now, I have no frame of reference, but it wasn't fun and giggles like, I mean, maybe for like 30 seconds, like you're describing. It was horrible. I was like 5,000 dimensions away. I kept reaching out my hand and going, Fred, take my hand, hold me down, hold me down. And he's like, why? And I'm like, because I'm going to float out of my body. You've got to hold me here. Hold me here. I'm going. Hold me down. And he's like, you're just really high. And I'm like, oh my God. I kept feeling, it felt like beings jumping in and out of my body. It was just horrible.
It's a different.
It made me so nauseated. I was so nauseous. So anyways, fast forward. I was telling my daughter about this and she was laughing at me. She goes, well, how many milligrams was it? And I'm like, I have no frame of reference. I don't know. And I still don't. So if these numbers are way off, forgive me. But she's like, I mean, for somebody who's never, ever done it, I would say the absolute max would be like 3 milligrams, like 2 or 3 milligrams max. And she goes, find out from Fred how many milligrams each of those were. So I called him and he's like, I don't know. I just buy the bag. And I'm like, look on the bag. So he looked on the bag. Each gummy was 100 milligrams. So, which means a quarter of it would have been 25, and I probably had at least 10 to 20, 10 to 15 milligrams, which is way more than I should have had. But she goes, so you just need a better dose. And I'm like, it'd take a lot of work to convince me to do that again, because I had the worst time.
Well, it's different. It was consuming awful. It versus smoking it. The consuming lasts longer.
It's too, too, too.
That what I'm talking about, the giggles, is the smoking it. Me and my buddy were doing this. And it's one of those, we go back and forth. Do you feel it? I don't feel it. Do you feel it? I feel it. No. And then somewhere in the middle of that, 30 minutes elapsed with us just giggling uncontrolled. Yeah. It's like, do you feel it?
There was a point before it became horrible that I just started laughing. I just looked at Fred for a minute. I was going to say something. I couldn't remember what I was going to say. And I just started laughing. Then he started laughing. And we just laughed. But it didn't last very long.
The wrong
and then
dose.
I was just like, I'm so thirsty. Mm,
you get parched too, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I was so thirsty. I finally was begging spirit for help. Please get this out of my body. And I just had to go sleep it off. I slept about 6 hours and yeah, I didn't have fun.
You needed the right dosage. That was the problem.
Yeah, I did. I did. Now I know. Who knew? My kids always joke because, you know, I'm a nurse and I don't want to jeopardize my nursing license because the nursing board doesn't smile upon that thing, and that's why I've never smoked. But my daughters always joked that, like, the day you retire, it's like the movie Friday. They're like, we getting you high tonight, Craig. Getting you high today. You got no job? You ain't got shit to do. We getting you high today, Craig. All right, so weed and drugs, same thing with alcohol. Oh. As you can imagine, well, alcohol is so wildly bad for you on every level. Physically, mentally, emotionally, vibrationally, alcohol is just really bad effing news. So it's no doubt that it affects your vibrations. I'm so grateful that I never fell into the alcohol trap. I was always so afraid of it because, you know, my dad was an alcoholic and a drug abuser, and my stepdad was a raging alcoholic. It's funny that my one brother went the opposite direction and he fell right behind his dad and became an alcoholic too. And I went the other way, and I was always just like, I want nothing to do with it. I mean, I've drank a few times. I've gotten drunk a few times, but, like, I avoided it. And thank God, because that's a slippery slope. But it will definitely lower your vibes.
Oh, yeah. This one I won't argue with. Disclaimer. I don't smoke or do weed very often. It's like when I'm on a vacation, and it's legal there. That's it. So with alcohol, what I've noticed is when I'm in public and I'll drink, it never ends well. And what happens is I start drinking, and I'm in a bar, a club or whatever. immediately negative vibes. I can start picking up on depression, suicidal thoughts, yes. anger, fear, all that. It just starts flooding in. It's like any defense I had to keep other people's emotions out, gone.
Mm. Yeah. In my experience, what I notice with people is that alcohol tends to make you more of who you really are. Alcohol and money make you more of who you really are. If you are a loving, kind-hearted person and you're generous, you're going to be that way when you're drunk or when you're rich. If you are a mean, hateful, abusive piece of shit on the inside, alcohol is going to amplify that. If you start drinking when you're sad, it's not going to go well for you. The few times, I can count them on my fingers probably, that I've been really drunk, people have to take my phone away because I want to call everybody in my phone book and just be like, oh my God, I haven't told you today how much I love you. God, you're the best. You're so pretty and you're so smart. I'm so blessed to be your mom. And then I call my best friend and be like, you're the best friend ever. I love you. You're so pretty and smart. Everybody's lucky to have you in their lives. I just go through my whole phone book. Yeah, I become a happy, sloppy, flirty, loving.
I become snacky. I'm like, you want to get some food? Let's get some food.
Not me. I'm like, karaoke, let's dance.
Now it's time for Waffle House.
Give me a hug. Don't stop at the hug. Give me a kiss.
Yeah. I'm out looking for food. I'm like, let's get some pancakes. So I'm drunk and warm pancakes with syrup sounds right.
So it amplifies my inner lover. It amplifies your inner big boy.
That's right. Let's get some bacon too.
Yeah, I'd probably join you for the food, but I'd be over there dancing in my seat like,
Oh, man, it's so good. That waffle or that pancake hit way different drunk.
You'd be holding me off with one hand because I'd be like, Jay.
I'd be like, one hand and the fork going.
I'd be like, the syrup is delicious. Give me a syrupy kiss, Jay. And you're like, stay over there. I always joked that I'd flirt with my grandma if she was sitting next to me and I'm drunk. I'd be like, yo. Grandma looking good. But see, I don't need drugs and alcohol to be goofy and laughy and snacky. That's my natural state of being.
It just amplifies it.
It just amplifies it. Okay, next on my list, and I say mine because you didn't add anything.
It's all telepathy, half of it, definitely.
You're right. People. And you had said this earlier, and I was like, yeah, we're going to get to that. People can for sure lower your vibes.
Some people you got to avoid. They are negative, and they will bring you down.
You need to shield before you go into their presence. You need to cleanse when you leave their presence. You need to cut some cords, because they are just naturally toxic. You just added a nice
check. No, that was already slick. There. I don't know what slick. You're talking about.
Yeah. But that's a good addition. That should have been on there, yes.
Well, you didn't get it. It's on you.
I didn't. I was too busy thinking about like
true crime.
Flirting and food.
No, it was a true crime that blocked that out.
Okay, so people, what do you have to say about this? I bet you have a lot to say about this.
I do, but I don't want to tell on people. But essentially, this for me, it can be anybody, but I have a lot of...
Well, you're not telling. It's just us here. Like, nobody's going to hear this. Mm. Us and all of our friends.
But certain family members I have darn near cut off because it's one reason or another. Some of them is just... Anytime you talk to them, it's the worst day ever. Everything is the worst. And by the time you get off that call with them, you're so low. You're just like, good yeah. Lord. And then some, they just can't help themselves. They just want to start stuff. And at the end of the day, for your own peace, you have to take a step back. And does that always feel good? No, because some of these people have been a part of your life forever. They're a big part of your life. But now you got to think about your own peace.
Yeah. Sometimes you give birth to these people, Like you said, for your own peace. Sometimes you have to make the tough decisions. I've been estranged from my son for 5 years now. Me and my daughters have because he's mentally ill. He chooses to be unmedicated and he can be very toxic. I'm ignoring him. He chooses to be very toxic and abusive and he won't take accountability and he just keeps being mean. Like the one day he had stopped over my daughter Courtney's house and she and my daughter Amelia were sitting on the couch. They were watching like Facebook reels or, you know, videos or something. And he's like, what are you guys laughing at? And she told him, and he goes, you guys are so stupid laughing over those videos. You should get up and do something with your life, you fucking lazy, blah, blah. Just started being verbally abusive. And Courtney was like, you can turn right back around and go out the way you came in until you are in a better mood. And so he did. He stormed out, went to get in his car. And when she went to the front door, she's like, and don't come back till you're being nicer. Well, you know, when he's manic, he's mean. He gets aggressive. He doesn't have the happy manic of like, let's do lots of art and spend lots of money and have lots of sex. He's, I'm going to murder somebody manic. And he charged her and started beating her and choking her. And my daughter Amelia is on his back trying to punch him to get him to stop choking Courtney. And he ended up going to jail that day, and they have restraining orders against him. So long story short, he won't take accountability for that at all. He's just like, she should get in trouble for punching me. It's her fault. She was punching me. And she's like, I was punching you because you were choking her. It was self-defense. He won't take any accountability. And so now the story he tells people is that my mom and sisters have abandoned me. And I've walked away because they're so toxic. And I'm like,
see, everybody has the same point of view, different opinions. They see something different.
Yeah. The law of perspective or whatever it was, right? The thing is that... it used to bother me. I used to want to defend my stance. And now anybody who matters knows. And anybody who doesn't know doesn't matter. You are so distracted and trying to turn in your homework late.
What are you talking about?
No, go ahead. I had to make the hard decision to cut ties with my son. And at Christmas time, I had unblocked him. And because he usually texts me on Christmas morning. And he did. And almost immediately... You know, when he was like, do you want to come over? And I was like, well, honey, I'm going to stay in today, but can we plan something for next week? That would be nice. No, F you. You're the most selfish, blah, 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 blah. I hate you.
On my terms or no terms.
Right. Exactly. On my terms or no terms. And so he just started being toxic, like from jump. And I'm like, I love you. I hope you have a great day. I wish you healing and health and the best year ever. But I'm blocking your number now.
That is so positive. Bye, honey. I couldn't remain that positive.
Well, I mean, when it's your child, it's a little different. Like, I know that that's not really him talking. It's his demons. Mm. It's his mental illness. Just all the stuff he's dealing with. But that doesn't mean, even though I can have compassion, I can have empathy, it does not mean I have to allow it to stay in my life. And so I blocked him, cut off, and it just is what it is. So you don't have to tolerate someone else's negativity or abuse. You know, you can set those boundaries even when it's a hard decision to make.
It is. It can really weigh on you sometimes because these people are very, very important to you.
Mm-hmm. So next, Jay says Ohio. I say Tennessee.
Well, I mean, we didn't produce J.D. Vance. I'm just...
This is true. All right, I take it. I think that Ohio should be two different states, though. Like, Northern Ohio should be its own. Southern Ohio should be a different one. Because they're so vastly different. Like, Northern Ohio is mostly blue. Southern Ohio is more... Appalachia, and no offense to Appalachians, seriously, but I just think that they're different. They're different. Two different states. Mm. Like, J.D. Vance is from Lower Ohio.
I'm just teasing her about Ohio. I have nothing against Ohio.
Ohio is actually awesome. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place to live, and I love it here. I mean, I don't have a lot to compare it to, but...
I mean, have you tried Michigan? I hear that's better.
I do hear that's better. It has its own issues, but I am not opposed to Michigan. I think it's beautiful. I would like to someday own like a vacation cabin, summer cabin up in the Upper Peninsula or something, you know, just go up there on the weekends and fish and relax and blah, blah, blah.
Fishing, that raises your vibes.
It can, yeah. It's like meditation kind of, you know, you just relax and stay in the moment.
But then again, it can try to kill you too.
Yeah. You didn't fare so well after your last big fishing expedition. Like, mm-mm. It took you days to like walk again.
Well, depending on the level of success, this is, you know, deep sea fishing. I'm very sore for days. But that last one, we hooked something that took an hour to bring in. Man, I like to die after that. I was ready to throw up. I was like, oh my God, it was so much. My body wasn't ready for it. It was not.
I would have been like, just throw me overboard. Use me for chum. Like.
I mean, it's a good memory. It was a fun battle, but it, you know, when it was done, I had mystery bruises in places. I don't remember taking the hits, but it was a fight.
I remember for days you were like, I can hardly walk. I can't move.
That's the measure of a good, you know, fishing expedition. The one before that probably didn't catch anything more than 25 pounds and under, but it was so many of them had the same effect.
We don't get fishing like that up here, I don't think. I mean, you might catch some walleye or some trout out on the lake, but nothing like that. No sharks.
Mm. It was mm-hmm. baby shark.
Do-do-do-do. All right, so the next thing that can lower your vibes is music. Certain songs.
Going down the sad song path when you're already upset.
Yeah, exactly. When Amelia was a teenager and she was so prone to depression, mm-hmm. she really battled with depression as a teenager. Anytime I would hear Lana Del Rey start coming from her bedroom, I had to go knock on the door and be like, turn it off. But I love this song. I'm like, you and I both know why you're playing that. Turn it off. That was her like mopey, sad, I'm going to fall into this depression and wallow in it, roll around in the mud. You know, that was her depression music. And so until she was an adult, she was not allowed to listen to it because that instantly triggered her and like helped pull her down. And it doesn't have to mean that the song is low vibe. It's just that triggers a memory. It triggers a mood. It triggers an energy. It fosters that depression or melancholia or too many thoughts in your mind, too many memories. Yeah, got to stay away from some of that.
We all do it. I mean, after a good breakup, death or whatever, sure. I mean, you wallow in it. You find the songs that resonate with you. They're just like, oh, yeah, that's yeah. right.
Recently, Beyonce's Lemonade album came on, and I hadn't heard it in a few years. And if you haven't heard that, it's like a whole progression of she finds out he's cheating on her, to they're not going to make it, to like they decide to work it out and reconciliation. It's like this whole arc on this album. So the beginning of the album, oh, she's pissed. Yeah, she's furious. And I remember after Fred had cheated on me, that album played on a loop in my house, in my car for months. So the other day, a couple weeks ago when it came on and I hadn't heard it for a long time, I was like, oh, I love this song. I haven't heard it. But instantly, like I was back in that rage. I could channel that anger so quick. I tapped into that muse and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm pissed. And fucking cheating mad. Yeah, I was pissed.
Yeah, music can do that. I mean, not just the negative ones, but the positive. You can hear a song and it'll take you back 20, wherever you were at that moment, you'll remember it.
Mm-hmm. Music has a big power to do that to me. And you know what? I have a story about a song. Actually, I've always loved big band music before I knew about My Last Lifetime. And if you haven't seen my video on reincarnation and about My Last Lifetime, I'll link it below because it's a pretty good story and it explains a lot of this. But anyways, in My Last Lifetime, I was a London socialite and like she was in her prime from like in the 20s and 30s, the big band era. So my whole life as Veronica, I have been just in love with big band music and I never knew why. Now I know why. Anyways, in my senior year of high school, I worked at Cedar Point Amusement Park and I was walking through the park one day and, you know, across the midway, they play the music on the loudspeakers and a big band song came on, Moonlight Serenade. I'm sure everybody knows it, like,
it was just released for your prom, right?
Anyways, I remember walking across the midway and hearing that song and I just stopped and I felt like the swirls of love and like just I fell into this like bittersweet, nostalgic, melancholic energy and I started crying and I'm like, what is this song? Oh my God, I love it. I had no idea what all this energy was about. But anyways, that became my favorite big band song. Fast forward to after I'm on this spiritual journey, after I find out about My Last Lifetime, I find out about this love that she had, this great love that she couldn't be with, but she had this entanglement with, if you will. Anyways, I was listening to that song again. I'm like, did this song have any significance to Sheila? Is that why it hit me so hard? And I got this image clairvoyantly of her out on a terrace, like a stone patio. There was a ball or a dance or a gathering going inside this big fancy house. It was dark out. They were outside on this patio, candles all over the place, lanterns, and they were slow dancing on the patio to that song, her and this love. And I was like, that makes so much sense. So then a whole other situation, I was asking something about my twin flame from this lifetime. I'm like, what other lifetimes have we had together? And I instantly got that vision of dancing on the patio of the guy that I couldn't be with. And I'm like, that makes sense. So the last time I talked to him, we don't talk often. It's been years and years and years. But the last time I talked to him, I was telling him this story. And I said, and so that's why Moonlight Serenade has such a big impact on me. And his eyes got huge and he looked at me and he's like, you knew that that was my favorite song too, right? And I'm like, no, shut up. And he goes, no, I'm serious. This is freaky now. He's like, have I ever told you that? I'm like, nope. And he's like, yeah, Moonlight Serenade has always just like instantly brought me to tears and it like tugs at my heart and I never knew why. And I'm like, well, now you know why.
Look at this. She has special songs with people in past lives. She just murders me in past lives, I tell you.
No.
Murders.
I've had a few lifetimes where I loved you deeply.
Yeah, deeply with that knife.
Very deeply. Yeah, because you cheated on me. I mean, you kind of just.
Wasn't my fault. Wasn't me.
You know, Pompeii, I loved you very much.
And you left me for the volcano, I tell you.
No. Mm-mm. In my lifetime as Sheila, I loved you very much.
To kill me there, too. I don't know how, but I'm sure she did.
I did not. I did not. Anyways, moving on.
Murdered.
So, as you said, like, songs can bring you up or they can bring you down. It's the ones that specifically trigger you, trigger those low vibrations in you that you might want to avoid because they will have a detrimental effect on your vibes.
Like the Baby Shark song pisses me off. Ugh.
I like it because you didn't, my grandson likes it.
I dislike it because it was the thing at the right time for my daughter, so I heard it a lot.
Mm-hmm. My granddaughter Vera always liked it. I can't say her name without wanting to say it like she says it. She says her V's like B's, and she's like, Biwa. My granddaughter Biwa likes it. She's so cute. Next on the list is...
What?
I'm going to ignore that. We're going to say politics. Politics, yes.
And it doesn't matter from what angle you look at it. The other side's going to piss you off. You're going to go down the rabbit holes and you're lowering your vibe.
For sure. You know, it's a necessary evil to at least be aware of what's happening in your world, but you don't have to delve into it and like dive in and swim around and get it all over you. You know, limited doses are best because really you need to know what's going on so that you can be informed and you can vote in a way that aligns with
your values,
your ethics and your values. But beyond that, you really can't control a whole lot.
And then getting tore up about it is not helping yourself.
Right. So you have to limit your exposure so that it doesn't have a detrimental effect on your daily life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can eat at you.
Beyond that, I hope you have the day you voted for. I hope you get everything you voted for.
That look was very stabby. My past lives are familiar with it.
I think there was probably some in there. Spomy, have there ever been lifetimes where he murdered me? He says yes.
Well, I mean, you probably did something. I don't know.
Have I lived a lot of lives with Jonathan? Yes. More than 10, more than 20, more than 1,000.
A lot of killings.
More than 500. So somewhere between 500 and 1,000. I'm going to stop there. So we've lived a lot of lives together. What goes around comes around. So I'm sure we've done each other some damage. We've loved, we've been happy, we've fought, we've hated each other. We were probably siblings that pulled each other's hair. I mean, we've done all the things. Next on Jay's list is, you say it. I'm going to let you say it.
I was teasing her. I put nurses on there.
Nurses. Well, you know, they say, if you're not dating a nurse, raise your standards.
My major damage in relationships comes from nurses. Coincidence? I don't know, but it's true.
Nurses as a whole, I would say, if this is a blanket statement, of course, there are exceptions to the rule, but as a whole, nurses tend to be tough. They tend to be a little cynical. They tend to have pretty sick senses of humor.
In recent times, it's worse than taking care of you when you're sick. So it's kind of like when I come home from work and you tell me my computer's broke. I'm like, I don't want to see that. So when I'm sick, they're like, I don't want to see that. Deal with it yourself. Go to the room and don't touch me.
But I want to be taken care of.
I know. I'm good at that.
Open the door.
I'm
throw
good
some
at
medicine. Shut the door.
No, I'm good at that. But if you take advantage, I lose my patience quick. As in, like, I'm going to make sure you have everything you need. You know, lay there and rest. Let me get you some medicine. I'll get you a cold compress. I'll make you some tea or coffee or whatever you want. You hungry? All right, I'll tuck you in, snug as a bug in a rug. This is your favorite channel. Here you go. But if you're then just like, I want more. I'd be like, look.
I have one extra.
You got what you need.
One extra pillow for you.
Take a nap. One extra pillow to put right on your face. Yeah, my kids, they'd be like, why don't you like feel bad for me? I'm like, because you're not hurt, honey. And they'd be like, but it hurts. I'm like, come back in 3 days. If it's still hurting in 3 days, I'll take you to the hospital. Because almost anything will heal in a couple days. You know, if they'll be like, I have a little bruise. I'm like, I'm not taking you to the doctor for that. You're fine. But it hurts. Okay.
Punch him in the other arm. Wow. The other side hurts still?
No. Which one hurts worse? Well, you know, in school, I remember being taught natural pain relief techniques, you know, different nursing interventions that you can do to help people. Like if they're in a lot of pain, your body tends to only be able to receive signals, like pain signals, from one place at a time. So like if your left foot is hurting, if you start rubbing your right hand or like pinch it a couple times or something so it doesn't hurt as much, like your brain, at least temporarily, forgets about the other pain, doesn't pay attention. So that might work, you know, like, mom, but it hurts. Like, okay, well, which arm hurts worse now? Did it stop?
See, that is nurse medicine. I'm telling you. At work, they do it right. But at home?
Oh, no, I'm just
I'm going to get a bunch of hate in the comments. I'm a nurse. You're an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be like, I'm unsubscribing. The other thing I would do is like, I'd be like, take a Tylenol. They always joke that they're going to put that on my tombstone. Like, here lies Veronica, take a Tylenol. I'm like, well, I mean, I am a good nurturer and I'm a good nurse. I'm not a good babyer. Like a man who has a cold and he wants taken care of for like 3 weeks. Cause he's like, but I'm sick. I'm like, you were sick 3 weeks ago. It's not still there. You take care of me because I caught your cold from taking care of you. Anyways, I digress. Yeah, you have to be strong to be with a nurse. Nurses ain't for sissies.
Painful.
Says the guy that lectured me about wanting a personalized desktop at work.
That's right.
IT people are the worst.
We are the worst customers too.
I wanted my personalized desktop and you're like, I just had this meeting with my team and I'm like, fuck them people. They don't need kittens to do their jobs.
The whole point there is you want this customized desktop that you'll never see because you have 5 to 12 applications open just everywhere.
I know it's there. And I change them according to the seasons. And like, I know it's there. It's part of my decor. You just got worked up about it. You were angry. You're like, fuck them people.
I catch this so much, and it's like, you know what? Less time worrying about that, more time production. We sit there and we say, well, we got to cut back because we're not making as much money. Well, we're thinking about kittens on our desktop.
See, I get that, but it parallels to the nursing world. Like, look, lady, two doors down, we just had to run a code because they were literally dying. Mm-hmm. Like, you're okay. I know your toe hurts from a hangnail, but like...
They should punch her in the arm.
You're going
to
be okay.
See? We now know how that works.
Come here, Margaret. Patience. You know, you try to mask and you try to keep on the game face and you try to just be kind because, you know, they're all going through something. This is the worst day of their life if they're in the hospital. They don't want to be here. But sometimes it's about priorities and perspectives. You know, they're just like, I asked for my Lorna Doones and my milk 30 minutes ago. And you're like, I'm sorry. I was stopping the bleeding of someone who was hemorrhaging and dying. I'll be with you as soon as I'm able, sir. Yeah, nursing, you're right. That lowered my vibes just talking about it. I'm all like,
see, I knew that was, it will lower your vibes, everybody else's.
I try not to let it though.
Well, yeah, I mean, the different professions, obviously that probably can. I mean, you see death and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. sadness and families.
Yeah. Nursing, you have to develop that sense of humor and that thick skin, and you have to be able to detach and not be emotionally invested or you will never survive. You see babies dying and women being beaten or just horrible, horrible, horrible things and people you care about dying, and like you won't make it intact as a human being if you don't.
And I get that. So transfer to a GI lab and then you can tell me those stories. You won't believe what we found in there today. Like,
I used to know a lot of people that worked in the emergency room. I did a couple of jobs where I was the nursing supervisor was one of them. I was a nursing supervisor for a hospital in Dayton, and I had to round every department in the hospital. So I'd go from surgery and like, oh my God, you don't know what we saw or what we found or we had to take care of, to the emergency room where they're like, you won't believe what we just pulled out of where. And like, I'd hear all the stories and it was awesome. It was great. Spomi, what are we forgetting? I feel like we're forgetting stuff.
Lack of cookies.
Yeah. Lack of self-care, which includes cookies and tacos. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else? Gossip. So the next thing is gossip. I can be prone to this, and it definitely lowers your vibes. It lowers your vibes because of what is your intention behind it? Are you doing it from a place of judgment? Are you doing it from a place of ego, like I'm better than them? Even if you're not saying I'm better than them, if you're judging someone and gossiping, there's a place inside of you that's like, well, I would never do that. I'm better than that type of thing. And I also don't believe, this is a hot topic in my family, I don't believe talking about every situation is actually gossip. Sometimes it's just talking and sharing, you know. For example, one time, this is just an example. So like, say one of my daughters is going to be late to something because she had a dentist appointment. And so they're like, where's she at? And I'm like, oh, she's coming. She was at the dentist. And then they walk in and everybody's like, how was your dentist appointment? And they're like, were you guys talking about me? And I'm like, I wasn't talking about you. I was just sharing. You always talk behind my back. And I'm like, I wasn't talking behind your back. I was just sharing.
I only say the mean stuff to your face.
I don't say anything behind your back. I don't say to your face. Kids are assholes.
The only other thing that I can think of that lowers your vibes is the damn amount of pollen that's out right now. The cars are covered in yellow. My eye itches. My nose is twitching. I'm like, pollen everywhere.
Take your allergy pill. Take a Claritin. Yeah. Everybody out there, tis the season. Take your Claritin.
Me and Benadryl about to take a nap.
If you have asthma or COPD or anything, use your inhalers. You know, keep up with your meds because tis the season to start a wheezing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But we appreciate all of you hanging out with us and spending some time with us. Let us know what you think. Send us some thoughts, some questions. Definitely.
Yeah. If you have any topics that we can cover, send them to us. We're going to be doing another viewer question episode soon. So if you have any questions or anything, just send them to us. All right.
We love and appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye.